Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Play. Sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come to the show. What's up?
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2022 Sanderson Farms Championship, just fresh off the Ryder Cup. You can check out the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. Give it a rate and review on iTunes. We truly would appreciate it. I'm on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Fun weekend, wasn't it? Fun weekend. What was your thoughts on the absolute drubbing by the USA on Europe?
Yeah, I don't think anybody expected it to be that bad. I guess it was the largest margin of victory since 1975
or 72 or something. Yeah, something crazy.
In the new iteration where it's the US against Europe instead of just US against England or whatever. But they got off to a hot start, and they just the Americans just poured it to them for the whole entire weekend. And, you know, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know if it was home field advantage or, I mean, there's obviously a huge talent gap between the U.S. and the Europeans. I feel like that really just kind of showed. I mean, maybe it was golf course, whatever the case may be. It was fun to watch as an American. So I enjoyed it from that perspective.
Yeah, no, it was a blast to watch. That's for sure. I was shocking it was that lopsided. I really was. Rory didn't do anything, and he let you know about it in his post round interview, yeah, which was great. It was great to see that he cared that much. But he was a big surprise to me this week, I would say, that did not show up. Rahm was amazing. He had a great quote at the end. Someone asked him, "How good was this America team?" And he says his literal words were, "It took everything I had to effing," he said the actual word, "make it 16 holes each round." That's how good the U.S. was playing, basically. DJ 5-0, No Hat Pat was balling out there. Yep. Xander, I think Drunk Xander might be the most fun person on the face of the planet right now. Cigar Xander, like, amazing.
I think that the post-round press conference was some of the best shit I've ever seen, yeah, golf-wise. You know,
just complete, I mean, not giving a shit, just drunk, yeah, I mean, disaster. Just
having a good time, letting it loose. That was a lot of fun to watch. I actually turned football off for a little bit to watch that. I didn't watch a whole lot on Sunday because I played golf and then came home and watched Red Zone. But and it was over. You know, I mean, I knew that unless I saw something on Twitter that, you know, there was a magical comeback, but it just wasn't happening this past week. I mean, it's just I don't know, man. You know, a lot of people were saying, you know, it's, you know, that it's just going to be like this for a long time. Obviously, I don't think we'll see 19-9 again. But it is, man, it's different when we go over there. They're going to set up the course the way they want to set it up, and it's going to be a different ball game. It's not going to be these, you know, 100-yard wide landing areas for these guys. So, but that's part of it, you know. So it'll be fun in a couple of years to see what it's going to be like over there.
Yeah, it'll be a lot more like Paris, that's for sure. I wonder if we start the discussion now, like Bryson doesn't make the team, Team Kiz, do we start that? Because the type of golfer might be different. We'll see, because Bryson was amazing, like on Sunday driving the first hole, like 400-something yarder, the way the picture of when him and Scotty were teamed up, how they approached the par five. Like, yeah, it's the thing that we know. We said Bryson would be a wild card because we've seen him try that and it fails miserably. But right, we've seen him try it and do that, and you're just like when he won the API and stuff, where it didn't matter what he did, or when he won some other tournament. So that's the wild card. It is Bryson DeChambeau, and it was awesome to see. He was fun. JT was like, He was the best cheerleader on the face of the planet. He played good golf, but man, he was something else. It was fun watching it. It was fun watching those guys. Even Brooks was doing things. Finau, English, you could never tell really where he was. He was just kind of like there. But overall, it was fun.
If Spieth and JT could putt, it would have been worse.
What about that Spieth shot off the side of the hill?
Oh my God.
I would have just taken an unplayable up like Lowry did on Sunday. I just would have been unplayable. Like,
the level of difficulty there. Well, Lowry was further up the hill or whatever. So like he literally couldn't even take a stand.
He would have fell back off and rolled down.
He couldn't even stand there and hit the ball. Jordan got lucky that it got far enough down the hill, but I mean, just the level of that is 1,000 out of 10. I mean, it's completely amazing to me. It's unfathomable.
The shot tracer showing how high it went.
Yes.
Was like, because I'm sitting there watching it and in real time going, did he really, like, how did he get it there to stop? I couldn't think of it even going that high in my brain. No. And I'm watching that going, that can't be real. But then you think about it, like, man, maybe. Like, that's freaking crazy, but maybe.
If I hit that at best, I'm pegging somebody's forehead on the other side of the green up on the side of that hill. I mean, it's just insane to me. But, and then, of course, JT misses the putt.
Of course, yeah. That's what we say about JT. Like every week when we do this show, best ball striker on tour, at least one of the top three or so. Can't putt for shit. Like if he ever putts, him and Rory, if they ever just putt, they're gonna win everything. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
True.
Watching Morikawa, like I was wondering about him because of how banged up he was. That dude, cold blooded.
Him and Brooks both.
Yeah, they like that was the fun part because like Morikawa and DJ were a hell of a team, but Morikawa and Brooks were a hell of a team. Like I guess in reality Morikawa could probably team up with anybody in the grand scheme of things. He's that kind of guy, but they seem like they kind of worked their way because Morikawa was not overly like excitable and neither of those two guys. So it's just like, let's go play, we'll dap it up and we'll freaking go. And like Stricker knew what he was doing. I'll tell him that. I'll say that much because like I was texting you, we were texting in the Discord and stuff, and sometimes the pairings, I'm like, oh, what's he doing? And then you watch him play, like, huh.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, you know what you're doing. Makes a lot of sense. Like splitting JT Cantlay and Xander up. They're like, what are you guys doing? Well, they can't win in best ball. They win in alt shot. That's what they do. So made sense. Like little things like that. It's like,
for sure. Bad.
So it was awesome. Another thing I'll say is I got to watch a little bit the first 2 days. Sunday I played golf and I got to watch like a good couple hours afterwards before they locked it up. And I will give the Euros credit because the U.S. they weren't giving it to the U.S. The U.S. was getting birdies. Like, they were just destroying them. It was a dart-throwing competition. Yeah. Even both sides. Like, you'd see Europe throw, like, a great shot out there within, like, 10 to 15. And the Morikawa would come and put one within, like, 2 feet. It was just, like, it was demoralizing if you're a European because they were just embarrassing you with their shot-making, even though you weren't playing bad at all. It was just, like, you got smoked. That's why I said that Rahm quote. He's like, I played great, and I could still barely make it 16 holes. Like, they were just lights out. Fierceful. It was nuts to see.
Yeah, no, it was for sure. I do feel like the Euros, I think if they had to do it over again, they would. I just don't know how you don't play Shane Lowry more.
I'm 100% with you. When he wasn't in the first, Lowry, and after you saw Fitz on the first day, he should have been in both segments in day two because he actually looked pretty decent. Him and Wiesberger, like those two guys, I know they're rookies. They looked a hell of a lot better than the old boys. Yeah. So like. Yeah, I'm with you there. Obviously, they have their formula that's worked for all these years, kicking our ass, but it wasn't happening.
Yeah, so I'm with you.
I did enjoy it out of one of the only U.S. losses, or I don't know if we lost it or pushed it, but Poulter was awesome on Sunday. That was vintage Ian Poulter, match play Ian Poulter, so that was fun to see as well. But yeah, Lowry was a confusing one. They're getting older, though, so it'll be fun because there's already people out there predicting who will be on their team, like Bobby Mack, maybe, Matty Wallace. A lot of interesting options they got coming. I got Mita. Oh, Mito's down south. He'll be in the President's Cup. I'm thinking of Guido. He'd be a fun one. Mm-hmm. They got some youth coming, too. So, U.S. can't get too excited forever. Like it's coming their way also.
I'm with you.
But, all right, we'll wrap up the Ryder Cup there. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It brings... You know, the President Cups was fun last year, 2 years ago when they came back in Australia, but that's usually always kind of a tougher one for the opponents to win. This was good, and I'm really looking forward to Rome. Well, I hope to God we're open up back then because I want the full onslaught of that golf course.
I can't get my wife to watch sports ever, and we watched the Ryder Cup all day on Saturday from beginning till end, and so that tells you right there how much more different the Ryder Cup is than – anything else, you know.
So. 100%. I agree. I tried to explain to people that don't like golf, hate golf, think it's boring to watch golf. I'm like, guys, this is different. This is like Happy Gilmore golf. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I can get into that. And I'm like, what do you mean? So like, I send them videos like, look at MJ. MJ sitting here. It's good enough for the GOAT of all time, probably any sport combined, to right. come and sit and watch and root for them as a spectator, not as a player. Like, that shows you everything you need to know about this deal.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, wow. So like, I'd send them clips from time to time. And the next thing you know, I'm getting text messages. Hey, how are we doing? How are we doing? I was like, oh, so now you're interested. Okay. That's
what guarantee I
mean. It. So we'll get you in Rome. We'll get the whole crew to watch it in Rome. But I'm looking forward to it, and it'll come up faster than we think, because technically we're year behind on this one, so it'll be right around the corner. And I wonder if they'll do, because I know it was the French Open or whatever when they moved the event to Paris the year before. There is an Italian Open, so I wonder if we'll get the Rome course next year, maybe, or the year beforehand type deal. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I don't know about that either. I think they did play a tournament there a couple years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and the reviews by the professionals were not good.
Ooh, that's not good.
So, but not apparently it's been redone since. We'll see.
I would hope so. If you have a Ryder Cup, you better bring the A-plus game on this one. So I don't doubt they will. All right, Sanderson Farms, it is 2022. It felt weird to type it out, but it is technically the 2022 season of golf, as goofy as it is. So it's the 2022 Sanderson Farms Championship. I like this event. The field's better than I expected it to be when I first opened it up. It's obviously not great. It's a fall swing tour event, but it's not too shabby. So what do you got for some past event history on this event?
Yeah, last year, Sergio was your winner. 19 under, one shot over Peter Malnati. 2019 edition was Sebastian Munoz, 18 under in a playoff over Sungjae Im. Cameron Champ won this, his first win, I believe, in 2018. 21 under, four shots over Corey Connors. Ryan Armour won it in 2016. 2016 was Cody Gribble. 2015, Peter Malnati. Nick Taylor in 2014. Woody Austin in 2013. The tournament record is 24 under, shot by Scott Stallings in 2012. This was changed, though, because this used to be an opposite field event, right?
Yep.
And I think in 2019 was the first time that it was not an oppo field event. So this is
a real deal, finally.
This is why you know, back obviously 2018, a little bit weaker in the field, but I mean, it's not drastic to the point where you're like, I'm not going to use it, that course history, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, Lynn from Roto Baller, he had a three-tweet segment about this event that this has actually been going on, I believe, at the same course for like 65 years, but the first like 35 to 40. It wasn't even an official event. It was an alt event that wasn't even official. Like, the money was real. None of it mattered. Like, nothing counted towards your PGA Tour success. And so it felt like an outlaw tour event, basically. And then they made it an alt event, opposite of, but it was different times of year. Like, it was Masters, then it was WGCs, British. It was all over the board.
I mean, at one point it was opposite of the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup.
Yep. So it's been like, this has literally been the redheaded stepchild of the PGA Tour. But the last few years, like you mentioned, it seems like it's stable. Yeah, because you get points FedEx-wise. You get, you know, your two-year exemptions. You get what you expect now, finally, at this event. So we'll see how that keeps playing out here. But it's a fun course. It's this par 72, the Country Club of Jackson. Par 72, 7,461 yards. Sounds quite long, but it's not that long. You know, you got the four par fives, but you got a lot of par fours. Six of them are only 4 to 450. So very, very gettable. You have two par threes, about 160 to 180, and two that are well over 200. So your ball striking for the most part of this event, you want to look at guys that are good at par four scoring between 4 and 450. That's a positive one. You want some good par five scoring, because when you look at this course, your par fives, the third hole, 40% birdie rate, the fifth hole, 24% birdie rate, the 11th hole, 37% birdie rate, and the 14th hole, a 33% birdie rate. So you want to make sure your boys are getting at least a birdie on these par fives. It's going to be very, very crucial in these events. Some of the longer holes, the longer par fours, the longer par threes, that's where you're going to see most of your bogeys. So a lot of your shots coming in here are going to be, you know, between like 125 to 150 and then over 200, depending on where they're setting up their shots. The rough is not penal at all. It's like 2 inches or less, so you can bombs away, have some fun out there. Limited bunker access, really no water at all to speak of. It's Bermuda greens. Basically, what's won here lately is the approach game. So you want to be good off the tee. That's why you can be long. You got the camp champs of the world, even Munoz. But then you got guys like Sergio, who does it at long, but great approach game. And then obviously luck box putting always comes into play, Jesse. But this course, if you go back in recent years, Justin Ray tweeted out something that out of all the events, this is one of the ones where approach way outweighs putting compared to most other weeks. We'll see how that plays out this week. But basically grip it and rip it and then have a good wedge game. And you might have some fun. Like you said, the record's 24. Most of the time it's give or take 18 to 20. So just get your birdies on. What stats are you looking at this week?
Yeah, definitely for that reason. You know, you got white birdie or better percentage for sure. Strokes gained approach, greens in regulation. And there's plenty of course history. So I'll weight that, you know, this week as well.
Most definitely. Don't forget, guys, fanshare.com. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS for 20% off the package of your choice. Just looking at a couple things here. Last six events, just coming in good form. DraftKings scoring, leading the field, P. Raj, Patrick Rogers, last six events. Harold Varner, Scott Piercy, Joseph Bramlett, Mito Pereira is your top five here. And then if you're looking at last six events on par 72s over 7,400 yards, DraftKings scoring, Charlie Hoffman, Joseph Bramlett, Scott Stallings, Corey Connors, Chad Ramey, only played one event though. Willie Z checks the boxes as well. So a couple of big names to talk about there, but we'll get into more of it here when we get into the old DraftKings scoring. And let's do it. We have 10K and above on this slate. Sammy Burns, 11,000 leads the way. Will Zalatoris, 10.8. Sergio, 10.5. Sungjae, 10.3. Connors, 10.1. Who are you looking at 10K and above?
Let's start with, Will Zalatoris. Obviously, you know, all these guys are playable. I will say that I doubt that I play anybody above 10K, but the one guy that I would consider for sure is Zalatoris. He did miss the cut here in his one start last year, but it's coming off the 11th place finish a couple weeks ago out in California, 29th the week before that, 8th the week before that. So playing really good. Obviously, Sergio's defending champion. I think he's okay, but is he going to be mentally worn out from – you know, this last weekend? Corey Connors at 10-1 would be my next pick. But again, if I'm going to play anybody, it's going to be Will Zalatoris, but I doubt I'd play anybody above 10K. I really feel like this week there's plenty of options below 10K, but also I want to be more balanced. I'm just trying my damnedest to get a 6 of 6.
Yep, I'm with you there. And that 6K range in events like this, we know, aren't too pretty too often. But no. I will say I saw a stat from Justin Ray. Like, he just does great stats, so I'm
mentioning
him a lot. But he tweeted out because of what you said, and I thought the same exact thing when I saw it. I know I've heard it elsewhere, the Sergio post-Ryder Cup, this and that. His first event post-Ryder Cup, and I don't know if it's the immediate week, but I'm guessing, you never know, since 2008 for Sergio. In 2008, finished second. 2012, ninth. 14, he finished second. 16, he finished 17th. 2018, he won. So given they're usually doing much better in the Ryder Cup than a 19-9 drubbing, but he seems to show up. And he actually played well last week.
Yeah, he did. Him and Rahm were a good team.
Yeah, Team Spain. The Spaniards, mm-hmm. They just needed a little more help elsewhere, but they were probably the best team they had out there. So we'll see on Sergio. And I wonder if that will lower his ownership, because over the last 24 rounds in my model, I took off doing just the Country Club of Jackson because I wanted to get a more widespread, even distribution, so it differs a bit. But he's second in my model. He's fourth off the tee, fifth in birdie or better in this field. Putting's his bugaboo. And 125 to 150, he's very, very poor at. But everywhere else, he checks the boxes really well. So Serge is interesting. If he's low-owned, I'm with you there. Otherwise, I don't mind Willie Z. And then Corey Connors definitely checks the boxes. If we're talking about a guy, if you want a good approach game, he's one of the best iron players on tour. If he can just get it out there and hopefully luck box into some putting, he could be very, very strong as well. So I like Serge and I like Connors up here. I don't mind Willie Z. I just think for some reason, if people are paying up here, I think they're going Willie Z, or they might go Sam Burns. Burns is a bomber. This would fit him perfectly if you want to go that route. At the same time, 11K, when you want to get a little more balanced, it's tricky. Very, very tricky. 9K range, you got Mito Pereira at 40, 9,900, Keegan Bradley, 97, Siwoo, 95, Cam Tringali, 94, Sebastian Munoz, 93, HV3, 92, Cam Davis, 91, Charlie Hoffman, 9,000. This is a much more comfortable range, I would say, Jesse.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I would rather be down here and start here, especially with Mito. I mean, I think he's going to be high-owned at 9,900, but I feel like he's going to win at some point over the next 8 weeks that we have golf. So the next 2 months, the next 8 golf tournaments, I feel like we're going to get a win out of him. So it's just going to go heavy, you know, this fall. So if you listen to this podcast a lot, obviously I've talked about him in the past, but this price is a lot more reasonable, in my opinion, than the 8,000 he was at the Fortinet, whatever the fuck that tournament was. He was 17% owned there. He was 22% owned at the Wyndham, where he was 7,900. You know, in like major events, not opposite field events, he's been, the most he's been is 8,500. Or no, I'm sorry, the most he's been is 8,000, because he was 85 at the Barbasol. He was 10-4 at the Barracuda. Both of those were opposite field events. So this price, I hope maybe gets a little bit of ownership down. I don't necessarily expect it, but I think it's possible. Keegan at right below him at 9,700, fourth here last year, has made three straight cuts. You know, he's got an 11th place finish there at the Northern Trust. You would think that this place would fit him pretty well as far as ball striking goes. Cam Tringali made a fool out of me whenever I said, why would I want to pay 9,700 for Cam Tringali at the Fortnite Championship? He was 11% owned there at $9,700 and finished 22nd. He's made the cut all 4 years he's played this event. Best finish is 16th, which was 2019, but I like Cam quite a bit this week. Another Cam Davis, 9,100, finished 6th here last year, 28th the year before, missed the cut in 2018. Has made six straight cuts on tour. Not great finishes. Obviously, did win the Rocket Mortgage. That was fucking almost 3 months ago now. But, you know, just steadily playing. And he's kind of, in my mind anyways, like a what was his name? Cameron Champ. He's a similar type of golfer as far as Cam Champ goes. And then Charlie Hoffman made cuts the last 2 years here, 6th and 23rd. I've been playing just, you know, pretty steady Charlie Hoffman solid golf of late. If you take out the British Open, he hasn't missed a cut since before March or before April of this year. So playing really solid golf at $9,000 there.
Yeah, no, it's a solid range. Mito should be very popular, but at least he's priced accordingly. Like you said, he's fourth in my model. He does pretty much everything perfect right now. He's a birdie machine, great on par fives, really good approach game. And like, I agree with you, he's gonna break through in a big way sooner than later. I think I'm gonna go Keegs this week. He's 18th in my model, but when he's priced up like this, he usually gets like the whole, oh, it's Keegan Bradley, I can't do a thing. And I get it. He ranks 129th in the field in putting, horrible. But he's first in approach. He's fifth in opportunities gained. A lot of the reason why he only has 112 birdie or better because he doesn't putt for crap. But he gives himself chances. And on a course like this, that can be pretty big. I'll be very intrigued by the ownership there on Keegan, and it might sway me to put a little more love on him in my 20 max builds. Cam Tringali, definitely like him. 38th in my model. Great approach game. Great off the tee stuff driving distance as well. So I don't – actually, wrong one. Par five is what I was reading. Sixth in par five scoring in the field, and 17th on par fours, 4 to 5, 450. So I like Tringali quite a bit at that price point. And then Cam Davis, I 100% the Cam Champ comparisons are very, very popular with him. I agree with that. And then I like Charlie Hoffman a lot. The guy just keeps getting better and better. He's fourth on par fours, 4 to 450, 10th in opportunities gained, 15th in birdie or better. He just checks the boxes in so many spots. So I like Charlie Hoffman quite a bit this week. I think he can make two to three guys this 9K range and really get after it. So completely agree with you on if you want to get out of that 10K range, no problem with that at all. 8K, we got Streelman at 89, Seamus Powers at 88, Griot 87, Ortiz 86, Wolf 85, Woodland 84, Wise 83, Kazire 82, CT Pan 81, Doug Gim, and Matthias Schwab at 8,000. Another quite interesting range where you can mix and match a little bit here, Jesse.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like there's some firepower down here. Start with Seamus Power for me at 8,800. He did miss the cutter in 2019, but before that he was 19th, 18th, and 29th in his three starts before that missed cut. He hasn't missed a cut in forever. Let's see. It's been a while. Back at the AT&T Pro-Am in February, he's got a win at the Barbasol in between there and a bunch of top 10s. So I like him quite a bit. And then I'm really interested to see how high-owned Wolf and Woodland are going to be in this range. They stand out to me as obviously guys who are winners. In particular, Woodland has won a major, been dealing with injuries, not playing. It's like the worst year in a lot of years for Gary Woodland last year. New season, you know, can both of these guys right the ship? at 8,500, 8,400 in this field, I feel like they are steals. And so if I'm playing, you know, 20 max or 150, I'm trying to fit these guys in for sure, because I feel like they can win. CT Pan, 8,100. He finished 12th here last year, coming off a sixth place finish at the Fortnite. You know, he's up and down, but he's, I think, a really good GPP play. And then Matthias Schwab, he did miss the cut here last year. 12th at the BMW PGA Championship over in Europe just a couple weeks ago. And the model just likes him for whatever reason. So at $8,000 there, that's where I would be.
Yeah, no, the Wolf and Woodland one, especially Wolf, he got my attention. He doesn't rate out too well on his recent performance, but he's that kind of guy that, you know, he's had a few weeks off, almost feels like forever off for Wolf. He could definitely figure some things out when it comes to driving distance, fifth in the field, you know, par five scoring he's great at, birdie or better he's good at. It's just kind of the consistency off the tee's been whack lately, and his, you know, his proximity game's been a little goofy, but I agree. At $8,500, I think he's very intriguing, at least to pay attention to ownership on him, because he's a guy that could easily walk in here and finish very, very well. If he was playing good golf, he'd be a mid-9K guy at least.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very good call on him. I like Seamus Power a ton. Fifth in my model. I played him a ton towards the end of last year, but fifth in my model, fifth in approach, seventh around the green, seventh birdie or better, fourth in par fours, 4 to 450. Doesn't suck in the other categories either. Like, he's playing great golf. His stats show it out. I like Seamus Power a lot at $8,800. I don't mind Griot if you're looking for approach game, one of the best in golf. Can't putt worth a lick, but he's eighth in approach, sixth in birdie or better, rates out top 40 or 50 in pretty much every other category. So I don't mind Griot at 87. Carlos Ortiz is the one that I'm really locked in on, because similar to Wolf and Woodland, past winner, not here, but he's a winner. He competed in some majors last year. He competed well in the Olympics, like well in the FedEx Cup. He just he couldn't putt at all, 135th in the field in putting, but he's third in approach, fifth in opportunities gained, second from 125 to 150, decent par five score. Ortiz is another one. We know he can hit it a long ways. He's 8,600. He could be another kind of steal in this range to kind of differentiate yourself. I like the Wolf call. Aaron Wise is also another one. Like, it's weird. A lot of past winners in this range. Like, you can – not again, not at this event, but on the PGA Tour. Wise is 10th in my model. He's first in birdie or better in this field, 20th in par four scoring, 23rd in par five, 21st – or 30th on approach, 23rd in opportunities gained. Like, he rates out very, very well. So he's another guy I'm going to take a heavy look at. And then some other guys you might get a load of ownership here is Patton Kizzire. He does very well in these kind of alt field events that are a little like not as powerful birdie fest type events. Kizzire usually shows up and plays really well. He's fourth in birdie or better in this field, ninth in proximity 125 to 150, and 15th in par five scoring. So he's a guy you can get in at very, very low ownership that can make a cut and make a run for you. At worst, maybe get you a top 20, if not better. I think Kizzire at 82 is quite intriguing. So it's 8K range. I'm going to have a lot of exposure to, and I think you can differentiate and play some ownership games if you want to, especially if, say, people wisen up and go heavy Wolf or Woodland. That opens up a boatload in this range that you can have some fun with. 75 to 79, you got Bramlett, Todd, Pendrith, Mitchell, Reavy, Stallings, Rogers, K.H. Lee, Hughes, List, Johnson, Kirk. Who you liking here?
Start with Bramlett at 79. The model likes him pretty well. 44th here last year, missed the cut the year before that, coming off a 42nd place finish at the Fortnite. I really like Taylor Pendrith, though, right below him. He's a rookie. 36th at the Fortnite, 13th Barracuda, 11th Barbasol. Similar events as far as like strength-wise. I think this price is really good on him, and the model likes him pretty well as well. Rogers, I mean, the dude obviously just – he is what he is. Is it a Patrick Rogers week? I guess I should ask you that first.
The model's saying, yeah, 19th of my models, and everything on this thing is nice and green. It's like T3rd. It's like 30th or better on like almost every category I'm using.
There you go, Patrick
and Rogers. I mentioned on Fanch here over the last six events, he is number one in PGA scoring.
Yeah. So. I had him checked off before you said that, and then now, fuck, I'm about to play him.
But you know how he gets, man. When he goes, he goes. But when it's ugly, oh, I know. Really freaking ugly.
Trust me. And then last but not least for me, Zach Johnson, 23rd and 14th in the last two starts at this event, 47th in his last start in the PGA Tour, which is the Northern Trust, missed the cut to Wyndham, 34th, 25th before that. I mean, he's Zach Johnson. Everybody knows who he is what he is at $7,500. My opinion, if you're playing 150 lineups, you know, you throw him on a couple.
Yeah, he's played well at courses like this before. He was a great cheerleader at the Ryder Cup, a lot of butt slapping, so he did pretty good there. But yes, he has a fun range. Bramlett, number one in my model. So we'll see how this goes. Fourth in approach, 13th in off gain, second in driving distance, good par five score. He was playing great towards the end of the season on the Korn Ferry and everything to get his tour card. So I'm with you there. Love Taylor Pendrith as well. In this field, first off the tee, eighth in opportunities gained, first in driving distance, second in par five scoring. It's the approach game that can be wonky at times, but if he's bombing it out there, he played well for us at Safeway around and then. This dude's a bomber. He was the like long driver on the Korn Ferry Tour, and if you compared it with the PGA, I think he was right up there towards the top as well. Obviously, if you look at the stats here, he's first in this field combining the two for the last 24 rounds. So I like Pendrith a lot with you as well. He's very intriguing. Other than that, like you could go a little Scott Stallings if you want to be different. He always kind of shows up at smaller events like this. I do like Rogers as well. Like I mentioned, 19th in my model. This is weird because this price range is my top three guys in my model. So this is terrifying because Luke List is third, Jesse. Third. Never a great feeling, but we've talked about this on the side before. Do you trust the model or you don't? You got to like go all in or not. I might not be as heavy on him, but I'll have some because of this. Third in my model. He's fourth in opportunities gained, ninth in driving distance, 12th in par five scoring. It's always the putter with List. So I don't mind going to him at 75 as well. So this is, I got List, List and Bramlett. My top two of my top three, List and Bramlett are in this range. And that's very, very terrifying. All right. 7K to 75. Who are you looking at here?
Burgoon at 7,300. Missed the cut here last year, sixth the year before that, and withdrew in 2017. Coming off 16th place finish at the Fortnite, 60th at the Wyndham. The model likes him quite a bit. Aaron Rye right below him. I talked about him for the last pod we had too, and he missed the cut, shot 70, 72, not great, but was playing really good before that. So I would go back to him this week. Taylor Moore. He played here in 2017, finished 53rd. For some reason, my model likes him as well. Adam Sevensen, another guy at $7,100, missed the cut here in 2019, finished 39th, 2018, and did play a couple weeks ago out in California, finished 51st. And we start to get really slim pickings down here, but there's a few guys. Chad Ramey at 7,000. Some reason, again, the model likes him, 26th here. Back in 2018, missed the cut out in California a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Ramey was a popular name. Like in the Discord, some guys were talking about him. I'm like, oh, I'll look at him. Big Korn Ferry score. So if he can get his birdie fest on, he's got to look at for sure. For me, Lucas Herbert rates out well here. He rates out well a lot, and he's always hit and miss. But birdie or better, he's 25th, 11th in driving distance, first in par five. So if you can attack those, you got a chance. Ryan Armour is always interesting. You mentioned he's got success at this event. Henrik Norlander, he finished fourth here last year. He's not playing the greatest of golf coming in, but he's 20th in my model, 13th in approach, 17th par five scoring. Driving distance is not great, but if you got the approach game on, not too bad. So Norlander is interesting at 72. Guy that's played well here. Matt Wallace, actually surprised to see he's only $7,100. The dude was playing really good golf towards the end of last year. Took some time off. He's sixth in my model, so I don't mind getting some him. I love Svensson, like you mentioned. 11th in my model, second in approach in this field, first in opportunities gained. So he just doesn't drive it far. He's low in driving distance, but overall plays really well. He played decent at the forehand, one bad round. He actually should have been much better off. So I like that call at 71 with Svensson as well. Then other than that, like you mentioned Ramey. Sepp Straka is always interesting in fields like this, decent in driving distance, but can be very, very bogey happy at times. And I think that's it in this range. What do you got in 6K and below?
Hudson Swafford at 70 at 69, missed the cut here last year, 26 back in 2018. I talked him up at the Fortnite there, and of course he misses the cut after shooting 77 on the first day, but was playing pretty well before that, 17th and 11th and his two starts previous to that. So Swafford at 69 in my opinion is worth it. Nick Hardy is another guy at 69 there. 36th last time out at the Fortnite, 42nd the Phoenix Open earlier this year. I think he's coming off the Korn Ferry Tour or whatever. A few more guys: Vanderwald at 6,500, Davis Riley at 6,400, Seth Reeves at 6,300, and last but not least, Colm Terran. Not really sure why my model likes him. He's never played here, and he missed the cut out in California a couple weeks ago, but for whatever reason, his stats are there. So, yeah.
I like the Swafford call. He let us all down because I had a lot of him as well with you. But he's third off the tee, ninth birdie or better, 11th in opportunities gained, 27th in driving distance, 14th in proximity, 125 to 150. So he's not an expensive guy, but he rates out pretty well overall. So he's intriguing at 69. I like the Nick Hardy pivot. He doesn't light the world on fire in any one category, but he's not bad really in any one category either. So he should be able to grind, make a cut, maybe make a run. So I think that's intriguing as well. Some other guys, though, Adam Shanks, 12th in my model. He's the 7th in par 5 scoring, 17th in driving distance. He's interesting. Sam Ryder, I was actually surprised to see down here. He's 6,700. He's 14th in my model. Another decent driver of the golf ball, 3rd in birdie or better, 7th in proximity. So he's not a bad one to look at either. And then other than that, man, it's some murky water when you go around. Like, you got Brendan Hagee, who's a bomber, but he does a lot of other things that are a little nasty. Lahiri's interesting, actually, at 62. I don't mind him if you want to just say screw it. But other than that, man, the other one I would mention, I used him a lot in the alt events, like the Bermuda and stuff. Paul Barjon is 6K. He's 23rd in my model. He's 7th in proximity, 30th in driving distance, 28th in birdie or better, 14th in par 5 scoring, 400 to 450. He's made like 3 or 4 straight cuts on PGA Tour, played decent on the Korn Ferry. If you just want to punt it, 6K. I remember using him in those island events, and he can get birdie happy at times. He really can. So 6K for Barjon is quite the punt play if you want to say screw it. I don't mind that one at all. All right, let's recap things real quick. Jesse, 10K and above, who are you looking at?
Zalatoris.
I'm going to go with Surge. I'm going to ride the Surge train. It might backfire, but if it's not Surge, it's Connors. But I'm going to go Surge, see how it goes. 9K range, go ahead and go with 2.
Mito and Charlie. Top and bottom.
And Charlie. I'll go with Tringali and Bradley to be different. Hoffman's my favorite, though. I'll be with you there. 8K range, go ahead and go with 2.
I'll say Power for sure. And then, flip a coin between Wolf and Woodland.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Power and Kizire. But like you said, watch that like Ortiz, Wolf, Woodland range. Really, and Wise even. Those four guys are some really, really good golfers for this field. If they can click, I have no problem seeing any of them win this thing. Like, it wouldn't be shocked. So keep an eye on that range for sure. 75 to 79, who you like?
Pendrith.
Yeah, Pendrith is pretty much the play. If you don't want Pendrith, go Bramlett. 7K to 74.
Burgoon.
I like the Burgoon call. I'm gonna go with Svensson. I'm gonna go with Svensson on that one. Then who's your top 6K play?
I'll say Nick Hardy.
I'm gonna go with Barjon. Just say screw it and punt the damn thing. Just go that. If you're already down here, anyways, what's the real difference in most of these 6K guys to begin with? Let's just save some cash and go that direction. If you're starting out a cash game though, Jesse, who are you starting out with?
Power and Pendrith, and I would probably try to get Charlie Hoffman on there as well.
I like the Pendrith call for sure in a cash game. I think Pendrith and Hoffman makes sense. I'm with you there. I'll probably throw in Seamus Power. Is that the three you just mentioned?
I mentioned Power.
I was literally just scrolling through. I'm like, yeah, I think I'll go with those three if I'm starting out. So alrighty then. If you're going GPP though, what three guys are you starting out with?
I'll say Cam Davis, Patrick Rogers, and then you get you somebody like Aaron Rye.
Okay. Give me Keegan, Tringali, and Barjon, since I said he's my punt. Go ahead and use him. And then you could probably get a 10K guy if you want to mix and match from there. But you can go a lot of weird. If you just play Barjon, you're going to be unique already, so have some fun in your GPP. All right. The most important part of the show, Jesse. I got DK Sportsbook up. Who you got winning this thing?
I should already have the sportsbook pulled up because I was looking at NFTs like when we started this.
Yeah, did you become a newer member of?
No, I didn't. Tiger like yet? I was not even anywhere close today for any of the new ones. This is ugly. But Mito at 35, I think is good. He'll probably be heavily bet, I would imagine. So I still like 35 there on him. Pendrith at 50, not terrible.
Wolf at 40's got life. Is there something about him?
Bramlett at 65.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad either. Scrolling down farther, I'm trying to see because a lot of first-time winners here is what you get. So
yeah,
a lot of guys like from out of nowhere could come. I didn't even mention John Augustine because he hasn't rated out good here. But he played well at Safeway. He was a popular name last year.
What's the Safeway?
Yep. Or the Fortnite. That's a stupid name. he played well in Napa. I'll tell you that much, but well in Napa. But yeah, down here, it's going to get dicey. Let's see what the top 20 odds are, because this is a great website that actually shows these things for me without being a dum-dum. So let's have some top 20 fun with some of these bigger names. Matty Wallace at 350, man. He's too good to be down here, in my opinion. But maybe that's just me. You got Swafford down here. Armour's plus 500 at top 20. That wouldn't shock me if he gets
hot. Fast winner.
Yep. Svensson at plus 500, I kind of like. If he gets hot, that could be a fun one with some good odds. Norlander finished fourth here last year. He's plus 600. Dylan Fratelli's down here, for crying out loud. Guy almost won. He finished, top five at the Open, the British Open, and now he's down here with the scrubs. So, yeah, this is some good stuff. You got some names down here you can actually have some fun. You got the Wu brothers, Brandon Wu and I think Dylan Wu down here, that can go birdie fest or blow-ups. Barjon's plus 1,400 to top 20. Get some, people. I'm just kidding. Let's see what he has to top 40. If he's that at top 20, you might get some really good odds here. Where is he down here? Let me scroll. He's going to be down at the bottom, of course. Barjon, where are you? How did I? He's plus 400 to top 40. So I don't hate that, folks, because I actually think he's decent enough to make it happen. So top 40 plus 400, top 20 plus 1400. I wouldn't bet him to win, though. Any final thoughts for the Sanderson Farms?
I don't. Good luck.
Yep. Going to be a fun one. Hope everybody enjoys it. Check us out on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. Give a rate and review on iTunes. We'd appreciate it. If you have any questions, hit us up in the Fantasy DGens Discord. Check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Intric. But until next time, good luck, everybody. This was the Sanderson Farms preview of the 2022 calendar season. See you later. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun go? Just remember when you come up, the show goes on.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.